Reading from John chapter 1. In the beginning there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being that has come into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through his testimony everyone might believe. He himself wasn't the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world, and through the world, was made through the Word, and the world did not recognize it. Though the Word came into its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth. John testified by proclaiming, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me, for this one existed before I did.' Of this one's fullness, we've all had a share, gift on top of gift. For while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the begotten, ever at Abba's side, who revealed God to us."
Let's pray. Holy One, again, you offer us a scripture, and it appeals to us in different ways and comes to us in different ways. We've heard it, and now we ask you to reveal it to our very hearts. Amen. Actually, in Facebook this week, just yesterday, there was sort of a Venn diagram of all the various versions of the Christmas story. There was Matthew, and there's Luke, and way out here is John, which kind of is like angels and mystical things and stuff. And in the version is like there are angels and shepherds and all the thing, but John just leaps into kind of eternal and mystical words that really aren't anything like the Christmas pageant. But I love it. In the beginning, you know, it was all, you know what it's meant to do. When you first read the John story, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was in God's presence. You are meant to sort of hearken back to those very early creation stories from the book of Genesis. So, for instance, you know, we heard in the beginning was the Word. Here are the words from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was barren with no form of life, and it was under a roaring ocean that was covered with darkness. You hear the darkness coming again, right? But the Spirit of God was moving over the water, and God said, "I command the light to shine," and light started shining. So then you have all this, these old images being enveloped by the words out of John. Light, darkness, creation, very very mysterious and mystical. And so naturally, the church over gazillions of years has tried to figure out what it all means and write it all down. So theologians over the centuries and preachers like me are standing here trying to explain what that all is. How is the Word, capital W, related to God? How is creation all a part of this? It is kind of hard. I don't know. Anybody here ever watch Saturday Night Live or still watch Saturday Night Live? Yeah? Do you stay up to watch it or do you watch it streamed later? Every now and then I catch a little glimpse and I love it. Many, many years ago, they had a guy named Don Novello who was doing Father Guido Sarducci. Do you remember this? Are you old like I am and you remember back in those days? So Father Guido Sarducci on Saturday Night Live, he said that he could do university in 5 minutes. I kid you not, 5 minute university. He says, like, you take the typical college graduate and they get their degree and you wait 5 years and what do they remember? That is what you would teach them in the 5 minute university, the thing that you're going to remember forever. So one of his was, okay, let's go to theological school. Where is God? Where is God? And what is his answer? Anybody remember? God is everywhere. And that is what you take with you when you graduate from Father Sarducci's theological school. God is everywhere. And that is kind of what Genesis and John are saying. Only John is way more poetic, right? It's poetry. He sees creation coming about through the Word. And you know, in Genesis, what brings about creation? A word, a breath. God spoke. And so in John, it's the same thing. Weaving images of creation and the Spirit of Christ, which we see in Jesus, the Spirit of Christ existing before time. This creative energy, the Word, is even more than a word spoken. There are two words in the Greek that kind of relate here. One is logos, which means word. That's kind of the logical thing. And then there's another one, a complementary one called Sophia. It's feminine and it's wisdom. So these two, logos and Sophia, come to us in this spirit of creation. Yes, see how hard it is to like explain that? It's better to have a poem or prose or something like that or art because it's stuff that you know in your deep heart of hearts. And yet we try to make language that, and some people are way better at it than others. When I started out writing these words, I had in mind aspects of creation and loving creation and seeing God in creation. But I realized that wasn't going far enough. It is more than admiration and appreciation of the million brilliant things that come to us in the world around us. It is more. You'll note that in many indigenous traditions, you'll hear the words, all my relations. All my relations. And this is a little bit like what Julia was saying last week. But all my relations in an indigenous prayer is a lot more than amen. Amen, which means make it so. All my relations is an affirmation that we are related to everything and everyone. We are related to the birds and the rivers and the sun and the moon and the moose and the wiggly worms. We are all related. We are kin. This aspect of relatedness, if you go back into our ancient traditions, all of our ancient traditions have some sort of relatedness of creation to humans. The Celtic folk were really good at that. They readily accepted the Christian teachings of the Trinity because it matched with their understanding of the cosmos, how everything was related. And this time of year, I think we're being encouraged to understand humanity's place in creation because the word comes to us through creation, creative energy. So after hundreds of years of us trying to place humans at the top of the heap, we humans are starting to finally understand that we are not at the top of the heap. The aspect of all our relations places us in all humility among the things, among all things. We are related to everything through our very smallest components. The little atoms that make up our bodies are literally stardust. We are made of the same elements as the birds and the worms and every human that ever existed. We have that spark of creative energy. A few weeks ago, a favorite author of mine, Nadia Bolz-Weber, was talking about Psalm 148. It's a psalm of praise, and it begins, "Shout praises to the Lord, shout the Lord's praises in the highest heavens, all of you angels and all who serve him above, come and offer praise." And here's what Nadia sorts out for us. She says there's a list of all the entities that are praising God, the creatures, the sea monsters, the deep sea itself. The weather praises God, the mountains, the reptiles, and at the very almost the bottom, humans. She says, yeah, that's right. Holsteins came before humans when it comes to praising God. I'm reminded, you know, the new creed, we are not alone, we live in God's world. The new creed, which came out in 1968, and we still call it the new creed. We have to work on that. But it came out, and then it was revised with a line to live with respect in creation. And they were very careful to put that live with respect in creation. Creation had a capital C, because creation is an entity in itself, capable of praising God, maybe even more than all of us. Again, we're talking about an acknowledgement and an honoring of the holy in all things. And at this time of year, when we are celebrating the birth of a baby, we are honoring our Christian story that the holy is actually born to us in Jesus. And honoring that the Holy has pitched a tent amongst us. Not only are we connected to each other and all created beings, this most profoundly means that we're also connected to God by our very beings, by the ionic energy that holds our bodies together. We are connected to each other and to God, and the birth of Jesus reminds us of that. That brings it really close. A few weeks ago, former moderator, Peter Short, spoke to a bunch of people who had gathered in Zoom. He quoted a different story of Jesus' birth, the one from Luke, and he noted that in Luke, you know, it is written, you know, Luke is the thing that we use for the main template for our Christmas pageants, right? But the first words of Luke kind of start out about, you know, when Quirinius was governor of Syria and Augustus Caesar was ruling the land, and the cast of characters are introduced. But the message of the holy birth doesn't go to Quirinius, the governor of Syria, or to Augustus Caesar, who ruled the land. Where does the holy birth, the message of the holy birth go? Right over all of them, into the wilderness. John the Baptist, we talked about 2 weeks ago. John the Baptist gets the message of the holy birth. It just flies over all the mucky mucks and lands in the middle of the desert to some real humans. And the shepherds. We'll get to hear that, the story on Saturday of the shepherds. They probably weren't even tending their own sheep. And there they are, and they get to hear it before the mucky mucks do. Ah, it's so close to us, to our very humanity, to us in the wilderness, to creation, to everything. The wilderness is hallowed with the holy birth. An extraordinary birth that happens in the ordinary way, with water and blood, to ordinary people who were close to the land, maybe people who could see the connections in all things and the holiness in all things. See, it's really hard to explain and theologize. And so we have these things. We have the beautiful prose from the book of John and the images from creation and poems from the Psalms. We have all our relations. We have the Celtic trinities, and all of them are coming about this reality from a different way. And you know what else we have? We have our own deep knowledge. You know this. You know the holy in your heart. You know when you encounter God. You know when you encounter the holy. It is so deep in your soul that you recognize it even if you can't put words to it. And so, as part of our activity this morning, I would invite you to think of that time when you knew for a fact you were meeting the holy in some sort of moment in your heart of hearts. Where, when have you met? And so this is the invitation. First of all, I have to say that whenever we're one of us is going to invite you to participate by writing or doing a craft or whatever. No craft, just writing this morning. One way to participate is also to sit in the Spirit. You don't necessarily have to feel, pushed to do the thing. But if you do feel that you want to do it, perhaps on that paper that you've been given, you can write one of those times, a line of poetry that comes to your heart, a picture that you feel like you want to sketch real quick, or a time when it happened. I'm aware that not everybody has one of those green. Do we still have some of them, David, kind of hanging around, that if anybody doesn't have one, they can grab one? Okay, David has them. They're on the scripture, I think. If you wouldn't mind, and let's just take a few moments. And when you have written those things down, then in the way that we've got used to make the trip to this side or that side, to stick it onto the blue paper, or as somebody goes by with theirs, hand yours to them. And have them take your blue paper, or your, it's green this morning, or perhaps purple, up to the blue paper. I'll give you a few moments. I'll stop talking and let you think. Beauty and ferocity of creation. When have you known in your whole heart and soul that all things are connected with the gossamer thread of God's word?